Today I have with me Frank Sibuku, Zambia's national asset, one of Zambia's best film directors, with a history with movie TV, director of Impali. Now it's in its eighth season, doing fantastically with Zambezi Magic. This is a character and a person we've been dying to meet. You are going to love. He has such a story, young as he looks. He has built the Zambian film industry. He plays a great role in it. He's a creator, a motivator, an inspiration, actually, to all of us. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes. And I'm excited to be here.
Great. Yeah, great. And again, I was not expecting such a young looking...
I always get that.
When
people come to look for me and they look for somebody who looks like Mr. Thompson. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And I know this is all...
Yeah. No, yes, really, really nice to meet you.
No,
and yes, I've read up on you, obviously.
Yes,
but good to have you on the show, and let's listen you. To you a little bit, and also have you on the other side of the camera because you're not used
yes.
to this.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is more like new, but I'm getting used to it.
Good. Good. A household name as well.
Yes.
Certainly in Pali. More recently, but yes. There are obviously a number of movies that you created.
Sure.
A history with movie TV. Mm. I really want to dig into that a little bit because I want to know how somebody decided, first of all, not to be at the front of the camera.
Yeah.
But has a career at the back of the back of the camera. How did that work out?
Well, I think for me, things have been working out quite smoothly for me.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe the consistency. When I started with drawings. I was like, I'm a visual artist. So I used to do a lot of comic books. Then the person who actually introduced me to the whole film thing is James Chamanyazi. I don't know where you know him. Yes, James Chamanyazi. I used to rap. I used to rap way back, and I came across, they wanted him to feature him in one of the songs. And he's like, okay, come to the studios. So when I went to the studios, they had movie Passe. They used to do movie Passe then. Then he checked my song books, and I had a lot of drawings. He said, okay, if you can do these drawings, then can you showcase such, you know, art to my boss, Steve Nyerenda.
Yes,
he likes art, so he can, you know, like he can be interested to engage you a bit more. So, I was actually introduced to Angel Piri instead of Mr. Nyerenda because Mr. Nyerenda was busy, and that's when he saw the drawings and he thought maybe I can do better with video. Started asking me for more. And like for more comics that illustrates a bit more of composition. Then we did a project together. It was very impressive project. And it's Kwacha, I think something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was successful. Then, yes.
How are you showcasing the comics?
The comics, we used to tell stories.
Yeah.
Like a story, you create a Zambian story through drawings, like through comic books. Yeah.
And then show them how would you get your audience?
So we used to distribute.
Okay, print.
Like, yes, we print it out and then distribute. Sometime back, I think there was even that space in newspapers.
You would see a comic. Yes, there was.
Yeah, yes, we used to do that. You would just tell me to illustrate it in a very... very professional way, then you would get it and print it on the papers and books. Yeah.
So the comic, the rap,
yes,
sets in, you start working.
Now I shifted from the rap. I realized that I'm not good at rap. I am not talented in that way. So I started now with this comic book journey. And I met Kayambila Plamasaka.
Mm-hmm.
So we started doing comics together. From that time, because even him started with comics before he actually graduated to video.
That's really interesting.
Yes, so we started, for me, I think from that point, I joined Movie TV, and we started Ground Zero. Like, he started Ground Zero with Kenny Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
So from there, that's when I started learning more about video, and I used to do a lot of illustrations for a production called Kwekwe.
Mm-hmm.
Kwekwe was a puppet. And the puppet used to tell stories, and with the storylines, you have to, illustrate the characters in the story. So I used to do that. Yeah.
So, because rapping is also storytelling.
Yes.
So you're a storyteller.
Yes.
But when you were growing up, was it easy for you to tell stories? Did you like to listen to stories? How did that get embedded in your character?
I think I used to listen a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, because I think even right now I try by all means to listen a lot. I take in during conversations, I listen a lot and I pick, and that's how I make storylines. Because for me, the way I can illustrate is to pick from reality.
Yeah.
Like if I listen to the core guys, how they spend their day, it's quite interesting for other people to see. So I get those lines and see how, you know, I can turn it into a beautiful told story.
And I'm sure your time is a little bit more difficult now to go out there and pick real stories.
Yeah.
Do you like intentionally go out there? Because now you must be pretty much in the studio a lot of the time. So where do you get the time to pick the raw and real, the real life out there?
Somebody actually asked me how I like my style of directing. When I'm on set, I mingle with everyone. So we chat, we talk a lot, and I give space for each and every person on set to say something, to suggest something. So basically that's my style, because I pick a lot from people in terms of characters. How do I boost this character? Sometimes even the lighting guy can say something that is very important to the production, and it adds value. So I try by all means to collect as much as possible. I collect information from people. And being busy doesn't really limit me in terms of interactions. So I interact with whoever is there. We chat, we talk, and I get something out of it. So many stories out there.
There are. But 8 seasons of Impali.
Yes, yes.
How many years is that?
It's been 8 years.
That is incredible. So and it's been 8 years. Really the most successful Zambian show today. Everybody knows Impali.
Yeah. And you see, when we started, we only pitched 60 episodes.
Right.
So when we pitched 60 episodes, even those episodes, I didn't want to do 13 episodes, because I was like, if I do the usual 13 episodes, I'll be stranded if I don't give these guys, like, I've already collected a number of team members, and after 13 episodes I will start looking around for something to do, like, so let me extend this. So I was given the chance to pitch the show
to Zambezi Magic,
and Timothy and Moz, they came through and they said, Frank, we're only going to give you a few minutes. 5 minutes will be good enough for you to pitch, but make sure you say the right things. So I just said okay. I had about 6 productions, different production, very nice productions. Started with something about to do with music. They were like, I was running out of time. So the other one, it was about a rich man going down. Then I realized that I think what they are looking for is depth. So this one, I only had it in bits, but I just said, one man with 6 wives, different backgrounds. Then the interest got a bit closer.
Yeah.
They were like, okay, I think that we can do that. Let's try and see how best we can build that. And we did 60 episodes and the demand was more. So they extended it to 90 episodes and the demand was still there. Because at that time, Zuba was a bit more people's favorite show.
Yes,
so
yes.
It had the audience.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay, if I had to push it up, then I have to expand the dynamics. So I pitched 120 episodes. So the channel was like, okay, I think looking at how the response, and we can try that. So we tried 120 episodes. It worked. But the thing is that I deliberately didn't close the storyline. So I had to leave a huge cliffhanger, so that they can call for a second season. I even went out. I think I was in peak at that time. I just saw missed calls from the head the head channel Zambezi Magic. She's like, where are you? Like, I'm in peak. I'm doing a documentary. Come back. We need more episodes. Wow. Yeah, so I came back and we pitched in 260 episodes.
What was that like in terms of time? 260, is that like a whole, that's 2 years. 200,
yeah, that's 2 years. The 260 means you have to be, you have to think on a daily basis. And that time I used to do the storyline alone with a team with that's about cool. few writers. There were about three, four writers. Before we actually grew the storylining team. So it was about, everything was coming from my head. Say, okay, what do we do now? We are going to pitch these storylines. This one will grow his world and the other character will bring in, we'll do an introduction here. So we started like expanding the storyline because of the space that we were given.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if we didn't have like so many dynamics around characters, it would have been very difficult to deliver that.
So how many writers do you have now?
So right now we are 10. We have 10 writers. Have to be. Yes, we have 10 writers and three storyliners.
No, you have to be. Are you still the peak of the stories?
Yeah, so what I do now, because when we started, we didn't learn the business side of the whole production.
Yeah.
So as we started growing, like season three taught us quite a lot. Season three was, I think to me, it's one of the most powerful season that we've done for more than eight. Season three was powerful.
Why?
Why? Because of the response was very, very, very good. The response, I think everything was aligning properly. The storyline, people did really felt like Nguzu existed somewhere. That's the time where even if Nguzu is Nguzu was mistreating who's this one Monde, and people reacted, you know, like they started throwing tomatoes at Nguzu at the market. I was like, okay, people are taking it personal. So the story was a bit closer to home. Before when we started expanding the storyline, we had new ideas coming in.
Yeah.
So new ideas, we also had to give it because the show. Once it stays for some time on screen, you need new dynamics.
So what is it about Impar League? I really have to talk about this because it's had such a major impact on Zambian lives. So what is it exactly that you think people, why do you think they relate to it so much? And it's people from like all ages, to be honest.
Because
in those stories, with all those characters, somebody can relate to someone along there.
Yes, yes, yes. Exactly. And you see, the Empire is, it's actually staged. The way I staged it from casting is that I really wanted the character to speak to a certain audience. For example, we have different people from all walks of life, and we have respectable people, we have this, we have that. So I really wanted, like, for example, a Shupiwe. There are a lot of Shupiwes out there. So I staged Shupiwe just to speak to a certain audience and just create the following, that much-needed following for her. Then we had characters like Jairus. Jairus, also, he has his own audience that follow him. So the combination mainly was not for the writer. You know, sometimes writers write the movies that they can only understand. But as we tried to be the audience. We tried to see, okay, we put ourselves in the audience shoes because you cannot laugh to your own jokes. So we need somebody who can respond to what you are writing. So even if I'm at home, my wife and my kids are in for it because I tell them stories. If they don't laugh, it doesn't go, if it doesn't make sense, then it can't go out.
So do the writers write for particular characters or they move around the characters?
No, we write for that particular character because you see the character has to evolve. And we also look for those dynamics that really attract people. And, you know, mostly we look at the strength, what suits this character. Then we write around that. You see, how strong is, for example, Mwiza? How can she bring out emotions? Like, if she's good at bringing out emotions, then we give her that direction. So the past few seasons, like the two seasons, we've been trying, we're trying to grow the characters from their own comfort zone to say, okay, let's see how we can push them up a bit more. Let's see if we can open another world. We moved Lindy away from the Mpali and introduced that to another family, just trying to see how best we can give something different. But it's working very nicely, and we are trying to expand that world also. Yeah.
And then how much time do you have between writing, everyone agreeing, and then going out there to film?
Okay, we have, first of all, I think we follow the TX time, the time that it runs on TV, because that's a king time that we need to really respect.
Yeah, exactly.
So we follow that one. But we, depending on when the production was commissioned, sometimes the production is commissioned at a very, very, you know, like late stage where you have to do things fast, fast. But this season, that's season eight, we've been very good in terms of time. We are almost like a month. Yeah. We already, like the scripts that we are working on, are already, they were already written.
Okay, nice.
Yes, it's like within a month's period. Yeah. Then the TX time is almost like 2 months after production.
Okay.
That's when it goes on screen.
Okay.
Yes.
So how does your family view you with this, you know, with this work that you do? Do they look back and think, you know, he was always a bit, always a bit creative.
Yes.
And then were you pushed into that arena, or you, you know, looking at your family dynamics,
like brothers and sisters,
were you the creative one? Was it really obvious?
Yes. I think they started noticing something like way back. I was, I think one of those they call one in the family, where I would spend time alone, like drawing and rapping. Sometimes I would rap things that don't make sense. Like, so some family members took it like maybe there's just something wrong with him.
But you're Lusaka, born and bred Lusaka?
Yeah, not really. I was born in Ndola. Then I grew up in Southern Province, Choma. And then I came to Lusaka and did my primary and secondary school. Yeah. But all the same, I've been that kind of a person, that one in the family kind of guy who would, I never used to talk too much. Like I was just busy
observing,
writing, maybe making fun of people, pranking people. So I was that person, yes.
And now do you spend a lot of time on your own? Do you even find that time?
Yes.
Do you find it precious?
Yes, I do mostly. But it's just that, you know, sometimes it gets to really, really busy because you have some we have a lot of things to deliver. So your mind is always on what should I do? Well, what next? What do we do next season? Or like right now we are trying to come up with another season, and hey, I have to collect quite a lot of storylines. And also, I have to talk to a lot of people so that I can get ideas.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. So I'm not usually alone. Mostly, I'm if it's just the Sundays where we are not having production. Like if we are not having production, then I'm alone trying to build storylines and just to give that alone time to think. Yeah.
So what would you be doing on a Sunday? What's your Sunday look like?
My Sunday looks like... usually it was one of those where you shoot. But when I don't have a production, I'm always at the office alone. Like mostly I am at the office listening to jazz music. I watch football on Sundays. And also I try to conceptualize movies, films, because I'm trying to be major on those ones, on film. I'm trying to build the film industry also.
Yeah, of course. Yes. And I read up a little bit on that. Any room in your mind to create... Any new movies?
Yes, we like right now we are trying to do, because we wanted to study the Zambian market first. As a team, we sat down and said, okay, and said, what can we do? Because we've been launching films and they don't really create that impact. We are happy with Mpali's response, but with the films, we're not getting much locally. And when you look at the quality, they're not, it's not that bad. It's quite good quality. But why are Zambians not supporting not coming to watch these movies.
So where should they be watching them for a start?
Yes. So what we did is that when we noticed that actually Zambians just want to see something that is impressive, mostly in terms of storyline and how we present our stories. And the stories needs to make sense. So we are like, okay, I think we are not going to do any experiment anymore. We are going to do movies that will attract people only, not filmmakers. Because okay. we meet as filmmakers when we do a premiere and we just exchange numbers. And the next day, again, you work on a movie and you meet as filmmakers. So we're like, we are not going to do that.
So you're not doing it for the, it doesn't feel like it's for the audience.
Yes,
filmmaking has been done for passion, maybe.
Yes.
For the love of
for the
industry.
Yes. So we felt like, let's change the audience. And we changed the storyline. We carefully, with this film called The Light, we carefully picked the characters and also looked around who is the character that can attract a lot of people. We picked Francia, and Francia did an amazing job. And we had a different audience. I could see three cinemas. I couldn't identify not even one person in the cinemas. So I was like, this is the audience that we want. So we are not going to do things that only the producer and the director clap to, but let's let the audience watch the story and like the story. Even we had to wait all the screenings that we did, about 7 screenings. So after the screenings, we had to wait for the movie to finish so that we get feedback from these ordinary people.
Mm.
And they gave us 100% positive feedback because they didn't look at the camera's work. They didn't look at what they just followed the story. So we felt like the story is king now, because
is a Zambian story a very important part of all of this? Like, it must be told from a Zambian perspective.
Yeah, it must be relatable because I could see in the cinemas a lot of people cried. It's a very emotional story. So we were actually picking reactions, and a lot cried, a lot, because the story was a bit more closer. We picked storylines that each and every, at some point in life you go through.
Mm.
And it really sank in, like it brought out that hidden, like hidden stories that we don't usually talk about. Yeah.
What are the kind of things we don't talk about now? Because now we're beginning to talk about everything.
Almost everything. Now, yes.
With social media as well, obviously that's be playing a huge part in what you now do.
So the light was strong in a way that I touched a bit on autism, because autism is something that is a bit more strange to Zambians now. I think we don't know much about it,
but it's rumbling.
Yes, it's coming up, and I was like, since it's coming up, because we see a lot of attitudes with kids in homes, and we wonder what's wrong with the children. Like, you know, so what if you take them for screening, and they can, if it's out of the normal, then take them for screening so that the specialist can advise. And these are little things. So you'll find that the people that have really autistic children got touched with the storyline, like heavily touched, like they were crying in the studio, because in the cinemas, because the story just brought out the realistic side of life. Yeah. And also mental health, how things build up, mostly with these single women, with single women who go through a lot.
Mm.
Things get to mount slowly. When they get to a certain stage, they can't hold it anymore. So they just give up in life. And you could see that there are a lot of reactions that we're getting on certain points. Like when we touch mental health, a certain section will react. When we touch autism, a certain section will react. And when we touch just normal rep kind of scenes and whatever, then the other ones, they were reacting. Others were like, no, I can't watch this and whatever. You know that you are bringing out very sensitive issues. Yeah. And also how kids just fight for their mother was very emotional.
Mm.
I think right now first of all, we need to be proud of our own stories. I think that's the only way you can proudly talk about it. Like we need to make sense in our storytelling so that even if it gets outside, they will also relate, like they will say, they will show our Zambian culture to the world. So we usually talk negative about the industry. So for us as A-List, we've decided now to take a very different shape now. Mm. We want to be positive in everything that we do so that the movies can market themselves.
Yeah,
we might not speak properly. I might not, no matter how many posts I make about the film, it might not be enough. But if the production is good, it will market itself. It's like a good song. A good song will market itself. Like it will just... Yes, it's
like
create
other,
its own demand. Yeah,
yeah. Like, you know, other countries and regions are really quite far ahead, and we're now catching up quite proudly, I suppose.
Yes, yes.
You know, West Africa, obviously South Africa, have invested heavily for years in this industry.
Yeah,
is there? Do you think there's a need from a business forum? Is there a need to have more input, more push?
Yes,
more support. And I'm sure even going out there now, okay, fine, you've got traction on like Impali, but I'm sure initially, like just getting that, getting in the door, getting people to accept that this is actually a really good story. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. And you know what we need mostly is like guidelines. Yeah. Who is a producer? At what stage do you become a producer? And because sometimes it takes years, like it takes a lot of years. You have to learn a lot to understand certain things. For us, we started understanding the business side of production after after quite some time, you know, like we did a number of series. And sometimes you would run out of budget in the middle of a series and you don't understand why.
Yeah.
It's because you get into the business without understanding certain elements. So if we have government that can streamline to say, okay, or in fact, guilds, if I'm looking for the best actor, who is the best actor? Who can deliver international standard?
Mm.
Then in terms of scripting, what defines an international script?
Mm.
What defines a script that can sit on Netflix? Then experimenting, you experiment, you spend so much time, so much money, and do this production that you as a producer feel like it's a very good production because you put in so much and it gets rejected at the end and it's not very impressive. So I think government and other organizations around the film, like the NAMA, they need to give us guidelines on what stage do we have to, you know, like, do we consider a production international standard? And also just we create guilds, actors' guilds, producers' guilds, directors' guilds, so that the pay is also makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. I think in that way, the international market will understand us nicely.
No, I think they're beginning to understand.
Yes.
They're beginning to understand.
Exactly.
Where would a young person go right now to become a producer? They finish school.
Yeah.
They've got the passion. Where would they go?
I think right now this is a very good time actually to get into production because at least there are a few schools around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. First of all, I think for me, I would really love all these upcoming producers to go through school first, let them learn something about production. We have schools with the Aden University, there's the Talent Factory, the film schools are coming up now. And they shouldn't just jump into filmmaking. Say that you have to look for somebody to mentor you. You get mentorship so that you learn the stages of production. So I've seen producers breaking down. I've seen producers failing to deliver a well-funded project.
Why?
Because, see, the money is good sometimes with film. If you do a right project, it can give you quite a lot of money.
Isn't the initial work the key to all of this? All the initial, the build-up to the... Before filming, that's the work. The same way you say having a business understanding, having somebody who's running the project,
mm-hmm.
really they're project managed.
Yeah.
Having that understanding, I think, is and spending more time on that and not rushing. Rushing to the end game.
Yeah, and also you see there are quite a lot of hidden costs that you can't see.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, a lot of hidden costs with production. You can produce. You know, there's free production, but at least you know you have to have an idea. For you to know what good editing is, you have to know what editing is.
Yeah.
Because if you want to become a director, know what good editing is. Because you'll be directing a show that is badly edited.
Mm.
And for you to understand what dialogue, and you differentiate between dialogue and just talking, and dialogue in the film and just chatting.
Yeah.
It's different. So there's some experience that you need to have. And that one, mostly the experience is attained with, you know, like with time. So you have to learn, There are quite a lot of young producers, young directors and producers, but if you ask them, they will know where they got their knowledge from. So it's not something that you just wake up and do. And you really have to really take time to learn. And before you waste a lot of time, people's time, actors' time, and also other companies' time.
So for you, your experience was pretty much on the job.
Yes.
So you can see now where, if you had the opportunity, then should I have made it a bit more formal? But then it was also just circumstances, time, probably then as well.
Yes.
But you're now saying that if anyone wants to get into that business, try and get the formal side of understanding it.
Yes.
There must have been some movies or some productions that you've done that you just never want to think about them. They're a disaster.
Yes.
Can you name one?
So I did quite a lot. In fact, I started doing studio productions, like studio-based shows, like Dance Fever, where you bring in a lot of kids and they start, it's more like a dance competition. Then I did talk shows. Then they have sitcoms. I did Flat Six. I did the Bondix. Then I joined the Banja team. I was one of the Banja production.
Have you ever acted?
Yes. I used to act in Flat Six. Then I realized that I'm not really good.
not really good. For me.
Yes. So, but there are quite a lot of productions that I just don't want to look back. I've trashed them. Yes. But there's one movie that I trashed and yet it became like a successful, became one of the biggest films, The Red Bag.
Why did it become successful after you had...
Yeah, because when I did it, that the first preview copy that I had, I showed it to my boss and he didn't like it. So I was like...
Deflated.
I was just deflated and I just trashed the footage, but at least left a DVD copy. So that DVD copy, I gave it to one of the journalists. I said, no, you can go and watch it at home. And he kept it 2 years down the line. He came back and still laughing to the jokes in the film. It's like, who you keep on loving? No, man. He was like, I watch that film every day with my family. And, oh, really? You have it? Yes. And that's why I got that CD. I said, bring it so that I can extract the video. I extracted the video and gave it to Costa Mwanza.
Yeah.
And Costa was like, I think we are taking this to the cinema. And believe me, that movie, I think the only movie that surpassed what it did is The Light. But otherwise... it was sold, like completely sold out.
Nice.
Yeah. And people still watch it now. Yes.
Tell me about the change in the movie culture.
Yeah.
Are people still, other than you inviting them, are people still going to the movies?
Yeah, I think they are. If it's a movie, if the movie is good, yeah, they will definitely go and watch. But one thing that I'm excited about is seeing the interest. Like the interest is just building up. The interest is just amazing. I think for Zambian filmmakers, this is the right time to do movies because we are not disappointing moviegoers. When they go, at least they have something to talk about. This year, we've watched quite a number of movies. And to be honest, they've been very good. The improvement is there.
Mm.
Yeah, like you watch and you feel like we're actually getting somewhere. Like we're actually really awesome. yes, we're actually getting somewhere. The picture quality is improving. Then the forts also, because we used to have a lot of forts in the cinemas where the movie fails to play. Yes, like you try, maybe just get to a point where it freezes on screen. We have people asking for refunds and what, and though that, they were like, Bama Zambian movie, and so chapped. Yes. So we've improved. At least people come, they'll watch the film and they'll give reviews and very positive reviews, things that you can understand. Like if they say, there you'd have just gone to this stage, you'd have jumped those scenes were boring, but you know also that, okay, what he's talking about is actually true. So I think we have improved in terms of quality, and we are headed somewhere. We just need to continue so that we don't disappoint people at the cinema stage.
So what keeps you, how do you keep your mind so fresh other than listening, absorbing, being observant? How do you keep yourself alive?
I like watching movies. Like I watch a lot of movies just to get what the outside world is doing. I watch a lot of movies and also music. I listen to music. I take a drive. Like sometimes I drive alone. I would drive all the way maybe up to Chongwe and I come back and nobody knows. I'm just trying to stay calm and see if I can build more ideas. Sometimes I just go to the park and sit and just alone, undisturbed. There's a time where I would go to, there are times where I would go to the mall and just park in the car park and push down the chair and sleep.
Well, you sound like a very, very calm character. So
yeah,
I presume you have a very understanding wife.
Yeah.
Who knows that even if you've driven, he's doing his own thing.
Yes. I have, my wife is, because she's in the same field, she just switched now. Like she's in the corporate side now. But she started as a presenter.
Mm-hmm.
She used to present with the movie TV, then went to ZNBC. She did a lot of news reading, newscasting, and she used to also be in that position where she wants their husband to understand her because of the late night, coming back late night after presenting. So she understands this industry very well. Yeah. But it gets to a point where there are certain things that she can't understand.
Like pulling down your seat on the mall.
Yeah. There are certain things that she can't understand. You say, wow, why did you do that? But wow, you're shooting another movie. And yes, I'm doing another movie. You can't wait till you are done. I have to do it. So
it really lives in you. So
yes.
You can't see an end to this game.
No. I wish I can change careers, but I at the moment, I think this is what I was meant to do.
That's incredible. And still looking like really young, and you've got such a history.
Yeah.
And it's great when people are, they find their calling. I mean, I don't think you can imagine doing anything else.
No. Because this year, I wanted to slightly expand. Like as expand, we are just introducing sitcoms now. We'll be doing a lot of sitcoms with, because I think it's the experience that I've had with kids. Like I've worked with kids for the past film, and I would want to do more with the kids. So I think that's the only, still in the film way, but I'm just trying to expand a little bit more to sitcoms.
What's your best classic movie?
My best classic movie, it's always The Girls Must Be Crazy from South Africa. Yeah, because I think that's where I got the inspiration from. Like, I really like that production.
Mm-hmm.
The Girls Must Be Crazy because the way it collected a lot of viewership across the world in a very simple way, very smart jokes. But it got us like hooked. Home Alone.
That's interesting.
Yes, Home Alone. And there are quite a number of them, but these two really played a very important part in my life.
Tell me about Home Alone, because at the time, where were you at the time in your life?
Mm.
when that film had such an impact on you?
I was very young, actually. I think I was in grade five. Is it grade five? But that movie just, when I watched the first one, I think there were like three of them, three, four, yeah. somewhere there. But then when I watched the first one, when my uncle brought a VCR, it was exciting because we were the only one with a VCR in the whole compound.
So did everyone
come? Pika, to- yes, it's in Pika. And a lot of people would come, like a lot of our friends from the neighbors would come and watch. And I just saw myself filming such a production. I didn't even see the storyline. I was like, I want to do that. I want to make something crazy like that. And I didn't know that I was actually stronger on the comedy side. So I did the Red Bug. It's in those lines.
Yeah.
And the Red Bug really attracted people. And yeah, I think that the Home Alone film really changed. Yeah.
So when you were watching it, you didn't even know that you're watching it from the back end and yes. not from the front.
I had no really idea, but I think I was just watching it from the back end, from the production side.
So do your friends think you're funny?
No, but when we start talking about storylines, I always come up with the funny storylines. Like this year we are doing the Red Bug 2. It's really funny. So when I just in our script reading room, you can see how people are laughing and how people laugh to the jokes. And I was like, okay, I think I have it. Yeah, somehow.
So I can't, you're such a calm person. You look extremely serious.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to match the funny guy.
Yes, yes.
In there, the funny minded.
You can't see the funny guy, you can't see, but when we start creating storylines, they will be very fun. Like situations. I'm more of a comedy writer, like in terms of situations. I attend a lot of stand-up comedy, and I was like, I think I would have helped you do punch that line nicely. There are certain stand-up comedians that don't finish the punchline, because the punchline is very important. They would push you there, push you. I don't know whether the joke goes, and they just leave people hanging, and they go to another joke. So I'm like, maybe you should have done that, because most of them are my friends. So they're like, maybe you should have.
I didn't even realize
like that.
But there's comedy, you know, there's somewhere where you have to get like, not a degree, but there's like certification on comedy because there's rules to it.
Yes, yes.
I didn't realize that.
No, I think there's, it's just that it comes from home, like where you feel like you are funny and you want to try and make people laugh. But I think there's so much more comedians need to learn. If you see most comedians like from the US and whatever, they're very intelligent.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh my
very
gosh.
Intelligent.
Yes, you have
so
to be.
So they do a research around a joke, because at the end of the day, you don't want to make people upset. You don't want to upset people. And there are certain jokes that you have to defend. Mm. Yeah, so you punch a line that will offend a certain group of people. And if it comes direct, definitely they will be on you. But if you put it in a very creative way where you can back it out, or you can, it will remain as a joke. It will just remain a joke. It won't go anywhere. But here we just pick whatever we used to say way back and recycle. I'll give you an example with what happened. I shot these comedy sessions, like stand-up comedy sessions, and I shot about eight of them, like different comic sessions, like stand-up comedy shows. Then when we started editing, we could only get two episodes out of the eight because all of them were recycled jokes.
Mm.
So for an audience, for a TV, it's very difficult because the comedians don't work on the content.
They don't research.
They don't research. They don't research. Once the show is successful, that's it. They will just wait for another one. What they advertise is more of the date.
You're right, actually.
Yeah. So you find that you have a very good audience, and the audience is just like, okay, no, I've heard that joke before.
But you're right. I remember.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not new. They don't work on the
not
content.
Not fresh.
Not fresh, yes. But there are certain comedians that are doing very good job.
And the stand-up comedy doing well?
Yes. There are certain comedians that are doing very well. Like you go to a show and you feel like, yeah, that's well thought. I'll give you an example, like Gabby, there's a lady called Gabby.
I don't know.
Yes, she is really good. Like Gabby Vubui also, she does very fresh content.
And is it fresh because she,
yes,
again, researches?
She researches.
And looks for
them. And these are the jokes, like when she punches a line, you go home and laugh when you're alone. Like if it will take time for you to. So I think we are getting there. We are actually getting there. Maybe it's because we didn't have much of, like these things like shows. And so the more we are getting, the more people are learning to research and the more
platforms
we are getting better.
To share.
Yes, exactly. So we, right now, like in terms of film, we're also learning, like from the film side, we are learning that, okay, for you to have your movie on Netflix, you need to reach, you know, to have this kind of content. Lighting needs to be done in this way. And also just the sound needs to be perfect and quite a lot. So we are learning. We are getting there slowly.
But even now with the getting there, it's things like the look at the equipment now that we have access to.
Yes, yes.
15 years ago, you know, people didn't have the money.
No.
They didn't have the access to.
No, they didn't have the access. And also just with the pays. We used to just say thank you to, like, mostly the production that I used to do with Movie TV, the pays were very low.
Mm.
Like, so that was kind of
demoralizing
the characters. But now, 8 years down the line, all our actors, most of them survive through just that. So they get paid well, and they get gigs, like they get jobs from outside because they are, people see them on Paddy and they want. So we are understanding that side now. So it's, I think it grows with time. Yeah, it grows with time. We are just learning that certain cameras cannot be accepted on Netflix. You need to use a certain camera that is recommended. And also now we are at the stage where dialogue also has to be controlled. For it to be called an international film, there's a certain way actors need to speak. There's a certain way actors need to represent themselves so that when they go out there, they don't really be out of place. Like they just fit in because it's the industry is growing.
Yeah. That's really good. I mean, we can see it.
Yeah.
It's really impressive. And I think for me, I'm congratulating you for the role that you've played. Quite maturely, quite subtly, actually, because you're kind of behind.
Yeah.
But I think you've done an amazing job to the industry or for the industry, and you continue to do that.
Yeah.
You're still a great inspiration to the young ones, to the older ones.
Yes,
and stories like this, you are our story.
Yeah.
But stories like this are really what I think Zambians, we should be learning from, listening to, and I'm really glad that Inkwazi pulled you out to come here because these are the kind of stories that mean a lot. It's very, also very emotional.
We've had quite a lot of challenges, up and downs. We've had quite a lot through COVID. It was very difficult to produce,
of course.
Through the power outages and the load shedding, it was very difficult to produce. Then we've lost quite a lot of characters on set, with being the set, being production side and also the talent. We've lost key characters that you feel like, where am I going to take the story now? Because a certain key member passed and...
Yeah.
You have to find yourself to see what am I going to do next. For example, when I lost my brother, he was the one directing Paddy. So I lost him in season 4. And I was like, where do I start from? So it was very difficult for me to find that space. And also creatively, when you get in that space where you are depressed, you can't think of anything anymore, and the rest 200 people are just looking up to you. They're like, okay, so what is he going to say today? What is he going to say? It's very difficult. So I had to put myself together and forget the rest and move on with the show, create new ideas, and also just create that creative space again, like recreate it, like get new few people here and there, like the writers, adding something that is missing. So we have gone through a lot. Mpali is Mpali. Where it is where it is on TV because of the work that we are putting in.
Journey.
Yes. And also the channel side, they didn't really let us down. The channel, they've pushed us. Zambezi Magic have pushed us to a point where we can only say thank you because they've shaped the industry. Like, not only with Mpadi, I think the rest of the industry, yeah. Because they brought in this competition. They brought in this competition, like pushing your production value to be accepted on Zambezi Magic. So other productions were asking, calling. So how are you doing this?
So they picked up the industry.
Yes. How are you doing this? How are you submitting? Because apart from just having a camera and the editing suite and other elements, there is a lot of paperwork that needs to be done. There is a lot of talent management that needs to be done. So when you're running a production like Mpadi, you are just like a father, a father of so many people and so many lives. So I don't make just a decision if I can't just wake up and say I quit, because I'll see what are the other guys going to be doing. So I just have to keep on moving. And that's how we have Mpadi still moving on. And the channel would ask me, do you have any stories? I said, okay, no, we'll sit down with the team and think of anything that is going to change the dynamics to bring new feeling to the show. Yeah, but otherwise, the upcoming filmmakers needs to be strong, and they also need to learn to work together, because that's very important. Working together, if they have a challenge, let them research. Those ones that want to start filmmaking, they do not start immediately. They have to at least have a bit of knowledge to how does it work. Otherwise, they waste people's time. Yeah.
So you're married?
Yes, I'm married. I'm married to this beautiful woman. Her name is Mocha. And we have three boys. Yes, Scott, Marcus, and Jordan.
Alice. Those are very English names.
Yes.
Why? European names.
They have the traditional names, but we give them the English names and the traditional names. Scott is Kangwa. Then Marcus is Junior. He's Nchimunya Junior.
Mm-hmm.
He's Frank Sibuko.
Okay.
Junior. Then there's Tabo. Tabo is the last one, the little one. The one who was acting in the light, the bit.
So this is where I need to ask. Yes. Have they taken on the route? Okay, your wife is a presenter. So
yes.
She's...
We're actually shocked to see the little guy, Jordan, Alistair. I actually named him after my late brother, Alistair. So he's really good. Like, he's really taking acting instructions very well. The little
How old
guy.
Is he?
He's 3 years.
What?
Yes. And he did, I think he was the hero of the film. When we premiered The Light, people loved his performance because he didn't say, like he didn't have dialogue, but just the actions and the emotions. He could align the emotions with the rest of the kids. I think it's quite encouraging to see at that age picking up like that.
So he would take instruction?
Yes. Then my second born is an artist like me. He does drawings. You won't believe that he can draw. He can tell a story through comic books. Like he's now doing storylines. So just the same thing that I used to do. Yeah.
But they still do the normal school thing. Or this is just their side thing. They go to school.
Yes, they go to school and they go to school. But my firstborn is a bit more on the tech side. He's a gadget boy. But he's not really interested in film.
That's okay.
He's not interested in film. But apart from him, the other two are really, really close because they play in Pali. JJ, the son to Jairus, is my second born. Then Hambe's son is actually Jordan, the last one. Yes.
So how do they fit the acting with their normal schedules?
We actually do Saturdays, mostly when they are not going to school, and when they're off school, then they can. But there are times where we just have to squeeze in, like when we have situations of delivering the episodes, and then we have to squeeze in time once in a while. So they, from school, then they come and shoot.
So the youngest one, when he watches himself, what's his reaction?
Oh, he was happy in the cinemas. He was waving at the people when they were calling his name. Jordan, Ryan. Then he was waving, so I could see that he was very excited. And also when he watches himself in Pali, he has to call people around in the house. I'm on TV. Come and see. So I think that is quite nice to see your kids enjoying what they are. They're doing.
That's very unusual.
I'm just trying to get them started at a very early age.
Yeah, why not? I'm sure by the, in a few years' time, it'd be very different for them. The industry really would have, would have moved to a different level.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they rehearse with them, with the mother, just to keep them up and running like that. We create little scenes and we tell them to act.
So you've come from a creative family, obviously.
Yes.
So, the rest of your family, you talked about your brother who passed away.
Yes.
And he was the original director or?
Yeah. So what usually happened, because we used to do quite a number of productions way before. So when I was working for Movie TV, I was given a task to bring in camera person, because now the director liked what I was doing because I was producing quite a lot. Then he asked me to say, you are very talented. Yes, do you have your brothers or cousins that are more like you? I said, I don't know. I've never really asked them because they were doing something totally different. So I tried to look around and say, maybe my immediate brother can try this. I said, no, try him. If he can do it, then we see what we can do. And believe me, I got him from whatever he was doing. The first time he came on set, he shot Banja.
Really?
He shot Banja and submitted the episode, and it was edited. And they didn't know whether it was a new camera person. They edited. All they knew that it was shot by Alistair. So I was like, oh. So how did you do that? That I was learning. Like, I learned a lot from you. But I picked up a few things, how to frame, how to do a long shot, how to do close-ups and whatever. Was used to tag along most of the times.
And before, so then he worked on the first.
Yes, so he worked with Movie TV all the way. I think he worked almost like five, 6 years before he joined me. Because I left Movie TV trying to be independent and trying to start learning more on how I can do the business myself. And he joined me afterwards. At that time, Movie TV was a bit shaking like that, like in terms of operations.
So at one point, was he your boss at Impali?
No. I was always
lead.
I was closer to the boss, closer to the to the owner of the station. So
right.
I had more powers. Yes. I think he just trusted me a lot.
Yeah.
He was more, he used to call me my son, not a worker, because he actually took me to school. He took me to France. I learned animation. Then I learned most of video production in Germany. So he used to sponsor me throughout.
Oh, nice.
So he's still my father. Yes. Yes.
He's talked about, the big family you come from on Impali. Mm-hmm. It's not just you.
Yes.
You can't crumble because there's so many people dependent on you.
Yeah.
So many families. But obviously, with this journey, 8 years on, we've lost We've lost family members. And more recently, we lost Mrs. Ngozi.
Yes.
Which was really devastating for everybody, the audience, for Zambia, for you as a team there.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Actually, we started losing my guru on set, like where we could see the energy was getting slowly, and that was the most painful thing. You want to write more stuff, but the energy is not allowing. So we could see that she was slowly reducing in terms of performance.
Mm.
So whenever you have a storyline that required energy, you couldn't just deliver that. Then we were hoping that people shouldn't pick it up like on screen.
Right.
Then they started picking it up.
Did they?
Yeah, they started picking it up and said like, no, why is my guru? Why are you using somebody who is sick and whatever? And that this is way before. I think it was like almost like 3 months, 3-4 months before passing on. So we excused her from the script because we felt like she needed a bit more time to recover. And slowly she started recovering and she would call you to say, oh, my son, now I'm better. When am I coming back? And say, okay, no, my guru, I think we can start with your voices because let's use the voices because we can clearly see that the energy wasn't there. So we would bring her just to do voices. Then she goes back. So Hambe would go on like calling her on the phone and she does the voices. But the last time she communicated, I still have the voice notes. The last time she communicated, she said, I'm good now. I think I can manage. It's like, are you sure? And I said, yes, I think I can manage that. Don't even say anymore. I need my guru back on set because my story is getting disturbed. So I talked to Tisa, who is the head writer. It's like, Tisa, I think we need to bring back my guru somehow because we need that authority, the my guru authority. Mm-hmm. People are missing it. I said, okay, now we'll try and see how we can slowly bring her. Then the worst happened within that space.
Mm.
We were trying to bring her back and the worst happened because a lot of people were actually calling to say, oh, my guru, is she okay? Is she what? Because they were seeing her on different platforms around in functions and whatever. Then the worst happened. Now we were like, we're on the midway writing her story and we're planning to see how best we can bring her back. For the rest, like to the rest of the ladies, like the main actors, it was bad. It was bad because we actually had stopped shooting. Because whenever we would shoot up to a certain point, then one breaks down. So where we just meet something that has to do with my guru, it's a problem. Because it up to now, they haven't really
recovered. Yeah.
And that's why you see even that space where they are. The awards came in and she was nominated and she lost the awards. It was very painful to us.
Mm.
We appreciate that she was nominated, but we were still mourning, you know, like we were still in that space to make her lose at the award stage. And we felt like it was very unnecessary to put her there. If she had if she had the Ngoma Award before, like Nguzu, it's fine. But she never won any Ngoma Awards when she was still in good form. She was nominated right before she passed, I'm told so. But the nomination came when she already passed. And we were like, who voted? If it was the people that voted and she had already passed, because the voting stage was... The funeral had already, it happened. The funeral was already in space, so they wouldn't have voted. So, but it fought the judges that they would have actually acknowledged her achievements. You know, just saying my guru did this, did that, would have appreciated from our end and family also. Then going to all the way,
all the extent,
or to the extent that the awards, then they make someone else win.
That would have been painful.
Yes, it was painful. Like, I can't lie to all of us. We are still trying to recover from that space. So I felt like really it was unnecessary for her to be there, to be put on the nominations. They would have actually acknowledged the achievements and just highlighted the legacy that she left behind, because she did quite a lot.
Mm. How long was she in the Pali for?
From inception. She's the one who was actually doing the, she was helping me cast. Yes. I called her first before any other person on set, on the Pali set.
Mm.
So she's the one who brought my Nguzu. She's the one who brought Monde, Shupiwe. She recommended Shupiwe and other characters. So for us, that nomination didn't sit in very nice. Maybe we needed a bit more explanation, but I felt like it was unnecessary to do that.
That's sad.
Yes. Then we lost also one camera person who was very important to the production. Shao Ben, it was very heartbreaking to the team, because this guy was very handy when it came to sacrifice, like sacrificing on the show. Like whether it's raining or whether he will come, like he will come, and then he just passed also. So we've had those ups and downs with the production. And good enough, we have a very strong team and we are still moving on.
But I'm sure even in the same team, we've got deaths and we've got births. The family just...
Yes, it's growing.
The family's growing.
It's growing. And right now, we have the most amazing storylines coming up. Like the quite powerful storylines coming up, because of we've now grown the characters and we've introduced very good talent. And this talent, the talent that is there now, I think they will give us a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, they will give us a lot. As long as the platform is there, I think the show will still keep on growing.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you the kind of jobs you did before movie. What did you do before that?
Before movie TV?
Yeah.
Oh, before movie TV, I was, when I finished school, I started paintings.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I used to do paintings.
Using what material?
A canvas.
Okay, and acrylic or oil?
Acrylic. I did few water paintings, and I did also portraits.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do portraits. I used to stay at university at Unza. And also I did those sketches for Ministry of Health drawings, like for sanitation.
Uh-huh.
Yes, so they used to hire me to do that under JICA.
Okay.
So that's where I started now. Trying to push myself to do a bit more in terms of comics. But that was my job from school.
Do you still draw though?
Sometimes. I do, like when I'm trying to illustrate something, I do. And it's easy now because, like for example, commercial adverts, the commercial adverts needs like a storyboard. So I will do my own storyboard.
They're still using storyboards, using... Mm.
Yes,
hand drawn,
but now there's AI, so it's easy. Yes, it's easy, but you have to start from there, then you can
move it to
AI. Yeah.
Oh, that's so.
Yes. Cool. So now things are easier.
So yeah, so yes. Presenting, you have to still do a storyboard, and guys, it's going to go from here to.
Yes, yes.
I remember the
mostly when you are trying to illustrate to the team, you have to draw it. You have to draw the angles, mostly to the DOPs. Say, I want my shot to come from there. I want an aerial shot here. So it has to be illustrated in a storyboard form.
I didn't realize that it was so raw still. But I mean, even if you've got AI, but that's really interesting. Yeah. What does your mom think about all of this? She's got a son who's... sons who have been successful in this arena.
Mm.
Grandchildren are now entering this arena. What does she think?
Well, she's, I'm sure, I don't know what she thinks, but I'm not really close with my mother. Yeah, I'm not really close with her, but I'm sure she's proud of what she's
seen.
She watches sometimes, yeah. Yes. But my late brother was very close with my mother.
Okay.
Yeah, and with then and also my sister. Me, I've been a, more like I'm very closed in terms of family. So right. I'm very closed. I don't visit more, but I accept visitors to come. I don't visit more, but
the introvert side.
Yes. In terms of family, I'm really closed up, and I help where necessary. Where they want my help, I'm always there. Yeah. Mm.
This again, you talked about what's the expression you use? The one child. You use that expression basically, like saying you grew up spending a lot of time on your own.
Yes. Yeah, mostly I've been alone most of the times. I think
they're angry.
I don't. I've never. There are times where I'm pushed, but I just walk out. Mostly, if you see me walk out, then I'm really upset because I don't want to show it to people. Mostly with the team members at work, there are times where you are pressured and things are not working out, and you are just forced to be upset. Like you just can't avoid it, and I'll let someone do the punishment.
The explosion.
Yes. I'll let someone do the punishment. If it's something didn't work out nicely, I'll let someone who is in charge to handle that. But I don't want to show, because I think I always feel like it's not necessary because you might, when you're upset, you say quite a lot of things, and I don't want to say things that are not appropriate to certain people. So I move away. So equally, if it's a home fight, or if it's a home disagreement or whatever, I just kind of switch off because I don't want to end up saying something that I didn't properly think about.
So that's the introvert, but who expresses themselves through camera, through film.
Yes. There's during my guru's funeral, I had to get a camera and shoot the funeral. Because I didn't want to be disturbed. Yeah, so I had the whole gear hooked up on me, like an easy rig and everything. I was shooting the funeral because I wanted my space. Because if I was just there, I didn't want people coming to me and asking me about films and whatever at the funeral. I was like, I don't want to be disturbed. Let me just shoot the film. I will shoot the
funeral.
The funeral, and in that way, I won't be disturbed because they won't come to me and talk to me and start chatting and whatever. I want my space. Let me mourn her this way. So people didn't understand why I was on the camera throughout. So I just wanted my space. And I didn't want, because people are so insensitive when you are mourning, they will start asking you for a role. They will start asking you for certain things that are not necessary at that time. They will start telling you about the story they thought about. No, I have a story idea, a movie that we can work together. I'm mourning. My mind is not really working at that point. I'm into a very bad space. I won't contribute creatively. But if after the funeral you can come. But I just got the camera and started filming through, and no one disturbed me because they knew that I was filming. And I was, if anyone comes, I say, no, please just hold. I'm looking into the lens, so into the viewfinder. That's where my focus is.
Gosh.
Yes. Yeah. So we have different ways. We are all different.
Yeah.
And my getting upset is mostly moving away from
a situation.
There are times where the business is not doing fine and you can't do anything. You have to be alone to just think of new things and new ideas. Maybe you change one or two things just to correct things. But otherwise, I think, I don't know, but people say I'm quite good to work with.
I'm sure you are.
Yes.
I can imagine that.
Yes. And even if I don't like talking bad about people because sometimes you'll find that somebody will come deliberately to ask you questions and whatever, and out there they say something else. I understand it's the industry. The industry works in different ways. We are all get numbers in different ways. And now it's all about numbers. It's all about if I insult this one, I'll get numbers. If I tell, for me, I will never get anything because I won't say anything bad about you. So it will be a wasted of time.
What's probably the most negative?
Yeah.
What's the most negative thing that's really hurt you that within the industry that somebody has had said, which is so untrue? You don't have to be specific about.
Yeah, so I think that we all have different. We run into different things. We run into different errors. You will find yourself in a very compromised state. You will find yourself in a very very unusual way, maybe your production is not doing fine. And what is so negative is how fellow filmmakers take that as, you know, like how they turn that into numbers, into creating numbers, into how they get excited with negativity.
Yeah.
You know, of course, they're just humans. So they will go through that position, they will go through that situation. Or maybe things are not running properly and whatever. So you can't be excited with someone going through situations. And this industry, we usually have that a lot, where they celebrate more of negative than the wins.
Success.
Yes. We've won quite a lot of awards, but only see a few people saying something good about that achievement. But when your show is not doing fine, they will call you to tell you that your show is not doing fine.
Of course.
When the show is doing fine, they will be quiet.
It's the way of the world.
Yes, yes. So it's that negativity that really brings everything down. And we are very good at it in Zambia, unfortunately. But once we pass that stage, believe me, things will start unfolding very well. Mostly for us producers, the bosses, because it's a very small industry. We know each other very well. You mention any name, I know that person. I've probably worked with them before. But when you achieve something, only few will say congratulations. When you find yourself in a situation, most of them will comment. And with this social media, they will just comment. When your show is not doing fine, when there's a character that is not liked, they will say, the other guys will start calling you to take down that actor. She's bad. He's good. He's not doing fine. Can you take him? Why? It's just probably a storyline that is giving that character away. But that such negativity is actually what is bringing us down. So,
well, I think, you know what? No news is good news.
Yes.
So at the moment, we're not hearing anything.
Yes.
Anything in the industry about yourself. So yeah. It's all good news. It means Yes. It's all going really well.
Yes.
And again, I'm going to congratulate you on you're doing, your vision for the future, for the industry. And yeah. I will look out for you. We'll look out for your children as well.
Thank you.
Because I think you're doing really great things. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, for me, that's a wrap. I've learned again, learned so much about the industry, learned so much about Frank's personal life, things I'd never have known, or you would never have known. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've loved it. I want to watch this industry grow. We are going to watch this industry grow. We're going to really congratulate it, pat it, because it's really making Zambia grow. It's shaking and making waves. And we're seeing our Zambian stories being told by amazing directors, by great storytellers, and just had a really enjoyable time. Thanks.